The following recording is offered by the Village Zendo. For more information, please visit villagezendo.org.
Good morning, everyone. It's very nice to be sitting with you on this kind of windy winter morning. Dharma talks, people just assume they're, is everyone hearing me all right? Can you hear me? Okay, good. Sorry. Yeah, so I was just saying, people assume when you give a lot of Dharma talks, you don't get nervous, but I always get at least a little nervous. And for this talk, I was aware of being more nervous than usual. And I couldn't figure that out. I said, gee, I've got a really kick-ass koan here. And, it's familiar. Okay, what's the problem here, Rio? I was sort of meditating on why this talk was making me so nervous. And it sort of came to me while I was cleaning out the kitchen sink yesterday. And the reason I was nervous about the talk was because my talk didn't have any point. And usually there's a point I'm trying to get across. And, I think that's true for anyone who gives these talks. But this talk really didn't have a point. And starting out and saying it's nice to be sitting here with all of you kind of summed up the whole talk right there. What are we doing in our practice? Well, we're studying the self, studying the self as the self sets itself out in array. We're studying Buddha. And, sometimes we feel like we're doing this to get to a point, to see something, to understand something, to grasp something, whereas the point is just this. The point of the talk is just to share myself with you and to allow you to share yourself with me, to share my practice with you and to allow you to share your practice with me. The point is to show up at 8 o'clock when the thing begins or whenever you're able to set up to arrive here and to sit for 25 minutes, and then when the bell rings again, to get up and stretch, to take a break for breakfast. Sometimes we have the feeling that we're doing this to get to a particular place or to a particular understanding, but that place and that understanding is exactly what we're doing together right now, exactly what we're realizing right now. And what is that? Well, it's kind of a crummy thing to say, but it's basically, to realize Buddha right now, right here, as the people we are, as the practice we have right now. And so, you know, we hear over and over again, there's nothing in particular to realize and nothing to attain. But sometimes we just have to take yes for an answer and sit for our 25 minutes with whatever we're sitting with, and get up and stretch with whatever we're stretching with, and be with the people we're being with, and look out the window and see the snow every once in a while, and go, yes, yes, this is what it is to study Buddha. Keizan Zenji says that, you know, for us students of the way, studying Buddha is the center of practice. Studying Buddha, and as his Dharma great-grandfather Dogen says, to study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self, and to forget the self is to be enlightened by all things, all beings, our whole world. So, in a sense, you know, we're not trying to get anywhere. We're just trying to put maximum effort into what we're doing here and now. But part of that effort, paradoxically enough, is to keep our questions about life and what we're doing very close to our hearts, very sincere, very present to us. And so, it's quite usual to ask ourselves or to ask our teacher questions about the Dharma. It's not just a matter of letting it go and saying, oh, well, what I'm doing right now is it. So there was a very famous monk who studied very hard and wasn't able to reach peace. He wasn't satisfied. His name was Ashvaghosa. And his teacher was the Venerable Punyayashas. And Ashvaghosa came to Punyayashas and he said very simply, I don't know Buddha. I don't know Buddha. What is Buddha? I love that way of formulating the question. It's so sincere and right there. I mean, this, he'd been practicing many, many years. I don't know Buddha. What is Buddha? And Punyayashas said, you want to know Buddha, but the one who does not know is Buddha. So he very kindly pointed directly to it, but Ashvaghosa didn't quite get what he was saying, and he asked quite naturally, if the one who does not know is Buddha, if not knowing is Buddha, then how will I know that it is Buddha? So again, he's thinking in terms of our ordinary sense of knowing and not knowing. Those two opposites, but he's not thinking in terms of that which is both in knowing and in not knowing. equally. You know, we think that we make the mistake of thinking it's about relinquishing our discriminating mind, not having preferences, doubts, worries, irritations, annoyances. And we completely miss the fact that all of that stuff happens quite naturally and without effort. I can't will myself to think, and I can't will myself to not think. So even in our knowing, there's what allows that to happen, what allows my breath to go in and out, what allows the cells of my brain to oxygenate themselves, all of that stuff. I don't know a damn thing about it. It's a process in which there is no right or wrong, good or bad. So Punyayashis was trying to point this out to his student, and Ashvaghosas, you know, very innocently said, but if it's the one who does not know, how will I know it is Buddha? And Punyayashis said, since you do not know Buddha, how do you know it is not Buddha? So it seemed they kind of reached an impasse there, and there was nothing for Ashvaghosa to do but to lay open his heart and to show his understanding. And he said to his teacher, it is like a saw. And Punyayashis responded, it is like wood. And then Punyayashis very kindly tried to draw his student out and said, what is the meaning when you say it is like a saw? And Ashvaghosa said, I and my venerable teacher Punyayashis are lined up evenly like the teeth on a saw. So this shows quite a bit of understanding here, that one is the student and one is the teacher. In Buddha nature, they are not different. And that's true of all of us. All of us are lined up with all beings. Like the teeth on the saw, we're lined up evenly with each other, whether this is our first Zazen Kai or our umpteenth hundredth Zazen Kai. We're lined up evenly like a teeth on the saw. We're lined up evenly with the snow and the wind and the cold, the birds flying through the sky. We're all lined up evenly on this great universal saw of Buddha nature. And of course, this is, we can recognize this as one aspect that Dogen Zenji is talking about when he talks about being time. This is sort of the being side of things. All of us are arising together at this moment, just as we are. All of us are manifesting Buddha at this moment, just as they are. It's a profound and life-changing insight, but one that is incomplete. And Punyayashis tries to make his student see it. So he says, it is like wood. And Kazon Zenji explains this comment, wood being, you know, like a block of wood, like can't be penetrated, just darkness, nothing to say, all the same, all equal, total darkness. But what is that total darkness? What is it that cannot be penetrated? And so Ashvaghosa asks in return, what do you mean when you say it is like wood? And Punyayasha said, you are completely cut through by me. You are completely cut through by me, because I am teaching you and I'm confirming you as the student. I am completely cut through by you because you're learning from me and confirming me as the teacher. I am completely cut through by you because you're listening to me over Zoom. And so are making me feel that I'm giving a Dharma talk. And you're completely cut through by me because you're sitting there in front of your screens listening to me babble. So this is the time aspect of being time. And what Dogen Zenji is trying to get us to see is that these are not two different things. Being and time are not two. So it's relatively easy and happens early in practice that we appreciate things as it is, as Suzuki Roshi used to like to say, that things are exactly as they are at this moment, manifesting Buddha, that we're all lined up like the teeth on a saw. It's very calm feeling and very peaceful. And we like to hang out there, but that's just where our practice begins. Because nothing, all of that being is in a constant state of change and flux. And so then there is cutting through, allowing all Buddha, all beings to cut through you and cutting through all beings, saving all beings and allowing them to save you. By grasping onto being and cultivating that peaceful samadhi might be very gratifying, but it does not function and it slips through your fingers in very short order. So what about this cutting through the samadhi? Of cutting through the samadhi of traffic jams and work and irritation and appointments to keep and people to see, at least in normal times. How does that work? Well, there's a legend associated with the Ashvaghosa that I think explains it very well. Ashvaghosa means horse voice, which is kind of a pun. It doesn't mean like a horse voice, like a frog in your throat. It means the animal horse voice. And he was called this not because he sounded like a horse, but because according to the myth in a previous life, he was the king of Vaisali and ruled over a kingdom of people who went about naked like horses. And as a result, the people in his kingdom are kind of cold, like mostly all of the time. And so Ashvaghosa, or as he was then, the king of Vaisali, used his magical powers to divide his body into a million pieces. And each of those pieces became a silkworm, furiously weaving silk. And in a very short order, the naked people of the kingdom had clothing to wear and were cold no more. Of course, when he died and was reborn elsewhere, the people were very sad. Well, where is he? Where is he? Well, as we know, he's right here. Right here in all of these silkworms who are spinning their silk for the benefit of all beings. And I had quite a personal encounter with the samadhi of time. Earlier this week, because I drove out to Queens to get my vaccination. And I saw that divided body spinning silk furiously to make this possible for me and for many thousands of others. I saw the scientists who had researched the vaccine and all the taxpayers who had paid to make the research possible, and all the truck drivers and refrigeration experts who made sure that the vaccine got to where it was supposed to go and in a form in which it was usable. I saw the people who had swept the floor of that school gymnasium and had set up all the tables and all the booths and there must have been 100 people there, registering people, telling them where to go, checking on them after they'd had their shot to make sure they weren't having adverse reactions. And it was quite clear to me that although I don't know who Buddha is, I was in a Buddha land, surrounded by Buddha on all sides. A land of peace. I had entered the world of nirvana, made possible by the coronavirus itself. I was in a land where medicine and disease subdue each other. So the one who doesn't know is Buddha, not the one who is ignorant, but the one who shows up for the time being. For the time being, a 16-foot golden body as it was in that moment. For the time being, six heads and eight arms, an Asura spirit fighting for position and being better than anyone else. For the time being, the shackles and chains of a being in hell. for the time being, the thirst of a hungry spirit. Each of these manifesting in their own being time is the one that we don't know. We can see them, we can see it in them, and they can see it in us. Or we cannot see it in them, and they not see it in us. But this Buddha is unchanged, whether we know it or see it, or whether we don't know it and don't see it. It's always there. It's always accompanying us on our way, in any state of mind, in any state of being. It accompanies us as we practice in our study of the way. It's there when we feel far, far from the truth. It's there when we think, oh, I've got it. And the next moment it slipped out of our hands and we don't know what the hell we had or thought we had. So the best way to honor ourselves as Buddhas, to realize ourselves as Buddhas, is simply to study Buddha, to study the self, forget the self, and to manifest this life as the life of all beings, to produce our silk with all beings, to make people warm and secure as best we can through our wholehearted effort, through our wholehearted practice in the samadhi that we're experiencing right here and right now.